ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। पञ्चशीर्षायिनागुप्तम् प्रतिहारेण सर्वतः अन्वेषमाणं ऋषभम् औप्रौढं कामरूपिणीम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the old man was protected on all sides by a five-hooded snake. She was very beautiful and young, and she appeared very anxious to find a suitable husband. Purport: the vital force of a living entity includes the five kinds of air working within the body, which are known as prana, apana, vyana, samana and udana. The vital force is compared to a serpent, because a serpent can live by simply drinking air. The vital force carried by the air is described as the pratihara or the bodyguard. Without the vital force, one cannot live for a moment. Indeed, all the senses are working under the protection of the vital force. The woman who represents intelligence was searching after a husband. This indicates that intelligence cannot act without consciousness. A beautiful woman is useless unless protected by the proper husband. Intelligence must always be very fresh. Therefore, the word aprodham, very young, is used here. Material enjoyment means utilizing the intelligence for the sake of rupa, rasa, gandha, sabda and sparsa, or form, taste, smell, sound and touch. So here in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been described that how a lusty intelligence entraps the living entity, and in this way the living entity is encased in the cycle of birth and death in this material world. Here we see that Sri Narad Muni, while preaching to Prachinna Bahisat, who was performing fruitive activities to elevate himself into heavenly planets and enjoy material happiness, so Narad Muni is giving an allegory which is actually befitting for Prachinna Bahisat to understand it very clearly, that what he was doing or what was his position. Because the materialistic people, they can understand material examples very easily. That's why those who are expert in preaching to the materialistic people, they use sometimes material examples to make them understand that what they are doing and what is their actual position and what is the goal of their life. Srila Prabhupada used so many material examples to make us understand what is our position in this material world and how we are suffering in this material world without Krishna consciousness. So taking pity on Prachinna Bahishat, Sri Narad Muni gave this example or allegory, which was actually befitting to Prachinna Bahishat. So here we see that Narad Muni is telling that this Puranjan, who was the living entity himself, was traveling and he found at last a pura or a city which was befitting for him to live. And in the outskirts of that city, he saw a beautiful garden which was actually inviting him for material enjoyment. And the root source of material enjoyment, or root cause of material enjoyment, is the sex life in this material world. And that is fulfilled when man and woman meet together. And in this way, they prolong their existence in this material world. So here, specifically in this verse, we see that the woman who appeared in that scene, in that garden, was protected by a serpent. Pancha sirsa hina guptam. And that serpent had five heads. So here Srila Prabhupada describes that these five heads of the serpent are five life airs. The serpent itself was the vital living force, or prana. And there are five kinds of prana vayu which is flowing inside the body. So Srila Prabhupada says these prana vayus are prana, apana, vyana, samana and udana. And these five kinds of air actually carrying the living entity from one body to another. So this vital force or the prana is protecting the intelligence. Here the woman is represented by intelligence. Srila Prabhupada says, the woman who represents intelligence was searching after a husband. So this intelligence, which was lusty, generally, this lusty intelligence actually captures us, binds us in this material world. So it is represented by a woman. So this lusty intelligence was looking for a husband or looking for a shelter. As it has been stated that bina asre navartanti kavita vanita lata. Without shelter, a poetry cannot stand. Or a woman cannot live. Or a cripple cannot survive. Like a cripple needs a tree to take shelter of, in the same way, the poetry also needs the shelter of the poet. Without a poet, the poetry cannot come out. So in the same way, a woman also needs a shelter or protection. That's why Prabhupada says, a girl is protected by the father in childhood. A grown-up woman is protected by a husband. And a grown-up mother is protected by her grown-up son. In this way, a woman is always protected in the society. So here, the woman is looking for a husband, it is natural that a woman looks for a husband for protection. Though here it is said that she was already protected by a serpent, five-headed serpent means vital force, but still she was looking for a husband. That means this lusty intelligence is looking for shelter, and the shelter is the jiva itself, the living entity. Because the living entity's intelligence is polluted, that's why the living entity wants material enjoyment in this material world and try to live here eternally. This material enjoyment, which is generally provided by a woman to a man or by a man to a woman, it is vice versa. So this material enjoyment, which is generally called sex life, is based on attraction between man and woman. That's why it has been stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Punsa Striyo Mithuni Bhavametam Tayor Mitha Hridaya Granthi Ahur Atha Graha Kshetra Sutapta Vittai Janasya Mohayam Aham Mameti. So how a living entity become illusioned by this attraction. The first attraction between man and woman makes them not in the heart tightened, so they cannot get out from that situation. And when they live together, then progeny comes out, and then they find a place to stay, they find a karma kshetra to earn money, earn livelihood. In this way, janasya mohayam aham mameti. One is completely in great illusion and he thinks that everything belongs to me and I am the enjoyer. So in this way, he prolongs his existence in this material life, birth after birth. So this polluted or lusty intelligence, which is here called kama rupinim. Kama means lust. We are surrounded by six enemies. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, ego, envy. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. And we are entrapped by these enemies and we are thinking we are enjoying material life. We are in the hands of the enemies. And then this kama or this lusty desire is entrapping us in this material world and we are thinking we are happy in this material world. So Srila Prabhupada said that though we may get some happiness from sex enjoyment, but that happiness does not last long. And we have got that happiness in so many lifetimes, still we have not been satisfied by this sex indulgence. And we are still trying to become happy. It is just like putting fuel in the fire. When we put fuel in the fire, it will burn more and more. So in the same way, if we try to indulge in sex intelligence, sexual activities, and then we try to become happy, it can never be satisfied. We'll try again and again, and this is like burning desire. That's why an intelligent person try to tolerate this. Kandutivat manasijam visaheta dhiraha. So this is like itching. When some itch takes place, in the body, then it is very nice to scrub or itch that place. But what is the result? Then blood comes out. And then there is pain from that place. So in the same way, this is called itching sensation. And when we try to satisfy that itching sensation, then the result is suffering. Initially, we may think it is happiness, the result is suffering. So that's why it has been stated that kandutivata manasijam. This happiness is actually the product of the mind. There is no such happiness. It is only produced in the mind that I am enjoying. So this happiness is product of the mind, manasijam. It appears from the mind, this mental happiness. There is no real happiness. So those who are dhira, means those who are sober, they try to tolerate this itching sensation. And in this way, they avoid great suffering, or they avoid the risk of taking birth again and again in this material world. That's why there is a nice description in Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad. Yajnavalkya, there was a sage who was a Brahmagyani, Yajnavalkya, and he had two wives, Maitreyi and Kattayani. So after realizing the nature of this material world, Yajnavalkya was disgusted. Though he had a very learned wife, Maitri was very learned and she is very famous in the history. But Yajnavalkya wanted to take sannyas, wanted to get out from family life. So when he wanted to take sannyas, then he told this thing to his wife that he is desiring to take sannyas. Then Maitri was very surprised and she told Yajnavalkya that we are taking so nice care of you, then why are you interested to take sannyas? Who will take care of you when you take sannyas? There will be no one to take care of you. So then Yajnavalkya told to Maitri, Nava are patyo kamaya pati priyo bhavati. That, my dear Maitri, you are telling that you love me and you are taking care of me, but actually, who is loving whom? Patyo kamaya pati priyo bhavati, nava are. It is not that the husband is very, very dear to the wife, because the husband's desire is fulfilled by the wife. Or it is because of the husband that the husband is dear to the wife. Yajnavalkya said, Atmanastu kamaya pati priyo bhavati. If the husband is very dear to the wife, then it is because of Atmanastu kamaya. Because of our own self. The husband is dear to the wife because of her own reasons. Wife's own reasons that the husband is dear to the wife. Because the wife is thinking that the husband is fulfilling her desires. That's why the husband is dear to her. It is not that the husband is dear because the husband's desire is fulfilled by the wife. So because the wife is thinking that her desire is being fulfilled by the husband, that's her husband is dear to her. So in the same way, nava are jaya kamaya jaya priya bhavati. Sometimes a husband may say to his wife, oh, you are very dear to me, or I love you very much. But it is not because of the wife that the husband loves the wife. It is because the husband is fulfilling his material desires through the wife. That's why he needs the wife. That's why he says, oh, I love you. But there is actually no love. There is only lust. In the same way, sometimes one may say, I love my children. The parents may say, I love my children. But actually, there is also self-interest in it. So that's why Yajnavalkya said to Maitri, Navare putranam kamaya putra priya bhavanti. It is not that because of children, the children are very dear to the parents. Atmanastu kamaya putra priya bhavanti. It is because of the self-interest of the parents that the children are very dear to them. Because the parents are thinking, now we are taking care of the children, so in our old age, they will take care of us. So there is the desire to get return from the children. That's why the parents are planning how my son will study nicely, get a good job, earn more money, so we can become happy, he can take care of us. So there are so many plans of the father. He is thinking how he can derive benefit of taking care of the child for so many years. So now he should get the return of that. So there is some self-interest in it. So in this material world, actually there is no real love. Though we say there is, one may say to another that I love you, but this is just cheating. No one actually loves. There is lust behind this. The real love is for Krishna. The real love we can see between the living entity and Krishna, because the living entity wants to fulfill the desire of Krishna. There is no self-interest. That's why the devotees of the Lord, they have given up all of their self-interest and they only see the interest of Krishna. And they try to fulfill the desire of Krishna. That is real renunciation, or that is real sannyas. When one has no self-interest at all and only one has dedicated his life, his body, mind and words, everything for the service of Krishna. Then that is called the real love. Like we see the Brajvasis, the gopis, they had real love for Krishna because they dedicated everything, they gave up everything for the service of Krishna. That's why Krishna was so indebted to them that he has to say that Naparayam Niravadya Sanyuja Sosadhu Krityam Vibhudayusa Piva. So Krishna had to tell to the gopis that, my dear gopis, I cannot repay the debt of your love. Even if I try for the life's time for Vibhudha or the demigods, and among demigods, Brahma is the chief. So even if I try for the lifetime of Lord Brahma, still I will not be able to repay your debt. Because what you have done, which is very difficult to give up, the family attachment, wife, children, relatives, family members, wealth, it's very difficult to give up. But the gopis gave up everything for the service of Krishna. They did not care even for their own reputation. They did not care for anything. That's why Krishna became indebted to them. So the devotees, when they give up everything for the service of Krishna, then Krishna becomes indebted to that devotee. So Prabhupada had a nice verse, generally he quotes this verse most of the time. He said, Kamadinam katita katina katita palita durnidesa. So here the devotee is telling that mind your lust, this kamadinam means kama adinam, lust etc., lust, anger, greed, envy etc., all these six kinds of enemies of the living entity. So this kamadina katidha palita, they have been nurtured or taken care of by me in so many ways. That means I have attended to the desires of this lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, etc. And very obediently, I have tried to follow their durnidesa, their unwanted orders. This lust, anger, greed, they order me. So this unwanted orders, I have tried to carry out. So many times I have done this. Tesang jata mahina karuna. But still, though I have taken care of all this lust, anger, greed, and I have followed their orders, unwanted orders, but this lust, anger, greed, they did not generate any mercy on me. I am such a poor living entity, try to attend their orders, but they did not generate any mercy on me. Na jata maina karuna. They did not generate any compassion on me, that this poor soul is always following our orders. Let us now give him a break. They did not do this thing. They are continuously ordering me to fulfill their desires. And as an obedient student, I am trying to fulfill their desires. This is the position of the living entity, who is trying to fulfill the desires of these senses. Na trapa no pasantihi. And I am such a fool, the living entity is such a fool, that the living entity is telling, that na trapa, I did not become ashamed of my activity. Though I was just trying to follow the orders of these enemies, thinking them my well-wishers, but still I did not become ashamed of my activities. And at the same time, no upasanti, no upasanti. I did not want to cease these activities even. I did not want to stop these activities. This is my situation. This is actually the living entity's situation. Ustrajya etan atha jadupate sampratang lapta buddhim. So now, the jiva, the living entity is praying to Jadupati, the Lord of the Yadus, Krishna, that, O Lord of the Yadus, now sampratam labdha buddhi, now I have got the real intelligence. Because all these days my intelligence was polluted. It was lusty. I have lusty intelligence. That's why, because of my unlimited lusty desires, I have to follow the orders of my senses. But now, some or other, by the mercy of a Vaishnava, by mercy of a great devotee, love the buddhi. Now I have got the real intelligence. My intelligence has been purified. So I have got the real intelligence, and the real intelligence is to love Krishna. Because all the living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, so originally this loving propensity is there. When the intelligence is pure, that loving propensity is there for Krishna. But when the living entity wants to enjoy without Krishna, then the intelligence becomes polluted, becomes lusty. And then the living entity follows the order of this lusty intelligence. Like Puranjan became captivated by this woman who was repenting these lusty desires and followed the order of that woman, became entrapped with her desires. So, here the living entity is praying to Krishna that now I got the real intelligence. My intelligence is purified now. Sampratam. Because of the mercy of a Vaishnava, now my intelligence is purified. So now, Ustrujya Etan. Now I am giving up this lust, anger, greed, etc. I don't want these enemies. I don't want to serve my enemies. Now, my dear Lord, I want to serve you. Stang ayata saranam. Now, my dear Lord, now I have come to take shelter of you. I have come to take shelter of your lotus feet, which is avayam. Your lotus feet is very famous to give avaya, fearlessness, to anyone who takes shelter of those lotus feet. So now, my dear Lord, I have understood my mistakes. Now my real intelligence has been awakened, and now I have come to take shelter at your lotus feet, fearless lotus feet. So please give me shelter at your lotus feet and niyukya atmadasya, and please engage me in your personal service. So that is the desire of the living entity. That should be the desire of the living entity. That is the real goal of our life. Instead of being captivated by our lusty desires or lusty intelligence, we should try to come out from this situation and pray to Krishna to give shelter at his lotus feet and engage us in his personal devotional service. Then only our life can become successful. And then only we can get out of this cycle of birth and death. Then only we can get out from this Maithunagara, the place of sexual indulgence. We can get out from this place by taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna and enjoy eternal happiness in the service of Krishna. That is Sevananda, which is much more than Brahmananda, what to speak of this material enjoyment. Hare Krishna. Is there any comments or questions? Oh.
Yeah, I'm just confused because there's you know, what is going on there? The Mataji is not praying hard enough, or what is it?
Okay. So, in this allegory, it has been stated that the woman here represents the intelligence, polluted intelligence or lust intelligence. So naturally, intelligence will take shelter of a living entity. If there is no living entity, then what is the use of intelligence or where the intelligence stands? So naturally, the intelligence will affect the living entity. So here, that's why it is said that this woman, Anyasamanam Aprouadham, she was young and Anyasamanam, she was looking for a husband or looking for the shelter. So it is natural that the intelligence would look for the shelter of a living entity. In the same way, a woman looks for a husband, for protection. So, this is the general thing in the material world. This is a general instruction for everyone to keep the society in proper order. That the women should be married, they should be protected, just to protect them and to keep the society in proper order, this instruction has been given. But actually, though it is a material necessity, but when we take shelter of this Supreme Personality of Godhead completely, because after all, even if a woman takes shelter of a husband, but what shelter a husband can give? Even the husband is also subject to death. A husband can give shelter externally to just protect a woman from any other material attack on her, but ultimately a husband cannot give shelter from the clutches of birth, old age, disease and death, because a husband is also subject to this thing. So ultimately, Krishna is the shelter of everyone, for all living entities, because he can only give a shelter from the clutches of birth, old age, disease and death. This is the highest dharma. Like there are dharma, religious principles mentioned in the Vedas to keep the society in proper order, but the ultimate dharma, sabai punsa paro dharma jato bhakti adhokhyale, this is the supreme dharma. That one should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether man, woman, old man, child, anyone, all living entities, they are supposed to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to get out from the cycle of birth and death. So that is the ultimate purpose of life. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, we read in Bhagavad Gita, this body is compared to a chariot and then senses are compared to the uncontrolled horses and the mind is like the reins, and in the same way the intelligence is the driver. So there, to control the mind, the intelligence means who is like a driver has to be very strong, so that he can control the horse, I mean chariot. And here we see the intelligence itself is very weak and lusty and polluted. So in such cases, when the intelligence only becomes weak and polluted, then how to control the intelligence, and who will do that, or how to do that?
The living entity. Because living this intelligence is sitting next door to the living entity. So if the intelligence is polluted, generally one will be engaged in sinful activities. Generally, that's why we see that the living entities are engaged in sinful activities. To get out of this situation, if some or other we associate with the devotees of the Lord, that is the only way to get out of this situation. To get out of this situation, one has to associate with the devotee of the Lord, who can give him proper instruction, who can speak about Krishna, about the goal of life. Like in the case of Prachinna Vaisat, he was going in different direction, performing fruitive activities. And Narad Muni took pity on Prachinna Vaisat and came to him to instruct him. So somehow or other, if we can get the mercy of a devotee or come in contact with a devotee somehow or other, then only by hearing from him about the glories of the Supreme Lord, about our position in this material world, then we can purify our intelligence, this polluted intelligence. And then we can desire to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like this verse I was speaking, Prabhupada used to speak that verse more often, that Sampratam Labdha Buddhi. My dear Lord, recently I got back my intelligence. Means my intelligence was purified. So now I am praying to you to give shelter at your lotus feet. So it is only by the mercy of a devotee it will happen. The intelligence can be purified. And one can desire to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That's why sadhu sanga sarva shastra kaya labhe matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhya. This has a great importance of associating with devotees. It can change the course of our life. Because out of illusion, we may think we are in right path or we are enjoying life, but when we associate with a devotee of the Lord, then we can only understand our real position. That where are we stand? What are we doing? And where are we going? What is the goal of our life? Then only we can desire to take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna and pray to Krishna. And Krishna is very merciful. When we sincerely pray to Him, then He can bestow His mercy on us. And we can go in that direction to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna will allow us to serve His lotus feet. In this way we will be completely purified and attain eternal happiness in the service of Krishna. These five life heirs, five hooded snake. So this snake is the vital force or life air, prana. And there are five hoods, means five types of airs. So this life air is there, that's why intelligence is acting. If there will be no life force, then there is no question of the intelligence acting. So because the living entity is there and the consciousness is the symptom of the living entity, so then intelligence acts. But if the life air is not there, the living entity is not there, then there is no question of the intelligence acting. So it is related. I cannot hear.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for class. In case of devotee's family, The parents are more affectionate to their sons and desire for desire about them that they should be make advancement in Krishna consciousness and become a spirituality advancement. So, is it also a lusty desire for them, or and how and it is?
It has been stated in the scriptures. The parents should not have any attachment to the children. They should have only attachment to Krishna if they are Krishna conscious. But they should not also not neglect their duty towards their children at the same time. So that means we can perform as householders, we can perform our duty towards our children, wife, husband, whoever, as a matter of duty only. But our whole attachment, our soul attachment, should be with Krishna. Understanding the temporary nature of this material world and the temporary nature of this relationship in our householder life. Because this relationship is also temporary. We have so many fathers and mothers in different lifetimes. Every lifetime they are changing. Every lifetime our relationship is changing. In this life, who is our father, mother, wife, husband, children? Previous lifetime they were not there. In next lifetime they will not be there. Someone else will become our father, someone else will become our wife or husband or children. So this relationship is changing in every lifetime. We all have been united in one family, in one lifetime, to just suffer the reactions of our karmic activities from our previous karma. That's why when we live in a family life, we do our duty, material duty towards our family members, but our only attachment should be towards Krishna.
So desire for children that make a spiritual advancement, this is also lusty desire?
No, if we want to make our children Krishna conscious, that is actually the real duty of the parents, to make their children and dependents Krishna conscious. So that is not a lusty desire, that is for their benefit. Lusty desire comes when we want our benefit. We have our own reasons and we are expecting that from them. And when we don't get that, then we become angry. So this making someone Krishna conscious means we are actually desiring benefit for them, which is the ultimate goal of their life. So that is our real duty. That we can do. Like our preachers of Krishna consciousness movement, they are traveling all over the world for the benefit of others, giving them Krishna consciousness. They don't want for their own benefit. For others' benefit, they are taking the trouble. So, the parents can do so also, take the trouble to make the children Krishna conscious. That is very good. Hare Krishna.